Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. Tonight we got a pretty cool show for you. This young lady that's coming on the show tonight is a lady of many facets in life. I don't think there's not too many things that she hasn't put her hands to and succeeded at. You know, that's one of the reasons why I reached out. You know, on one of my first few shows coming back after surgery, I wanted to have her on because she just came out victorious in her pro boxing debut, and that being Ashley Smashley Cummins. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, we were going to try to surprise you, and my retarded self was still a little bit medicated, and I didn't realize I had commented to a dear friend of ours on your post. So it was kind of like we kind of blew that, and plus she had to make a dinner arrangement tonight. But I got you
on. Oh, no worries.
Yeah, well, I like surprising you because you deserve it. But one thing I'm amazed at, you know, Ashley, you look at your career in MMA, you look at your career in law enforcement, and everything that you've ever touched your hands on, you've succeeded at. Now you stepped into the boxing world, and you made your pro debut in Guns N' Roses, and you came out victorious. What did that night mean to you, Ashley?
Oh, man, it was a great experience. You know, it's always been my dream to fight for Guns N' Roses. And I've been a police officer for 7 years, and you know, Guns N' Roses, it's a once-a-year event, and they've had it for 31 years. So even when I was a little girl, you know, I'd go to Guns N' Roses events, and I'd just be like, oh, man, someday I want to fight for this promotion. Well, I was never able to because it was always amateur only. And this past year was the first year ever in 31 years they've had this promotion that they allowed pro fights. So as soon as I found out that they were allowing pro fights, they were allowing pro MMA and pro boxing, I contacted the promoter immediately. I was like, you got to get me on this car. Like, this has been my dream. And he said, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to find you an opponent for MMA, but I can get you someone for boxing. So I was like, you know, hell yeah, I'll try boxing. I've always wanted to try pro boxing or pro Muay Thai, so this was an opportunity. And, you know, I knew that it would only help me in my MMA career, you know, help get my striking a little better, and be fun to try something new. And it's just for an amazing cause. It's an amazing charity that they hold every year, and, you know, it felt good to be a part of it.
Yeah, you know, when I looked at the promotion, you know, from being in the inner workings aspect, it was quite pleasing to see the quality of a show that they put on. You know, you look at nowadays, you've got so many promotions and you got so many shows going on every week, and it's not like it was in the past when you first came into the sport. You know, back then, if you got a fight or there was a fight, it was, you know, once or twice a month, not three or four every weekend. But to see Guns N' Roses have the quality of a promotion that they put on, it amazed me because you just don't get that anymore. What did it mean for you to have that and have that in the St. Louis area where you're from?
Oh, man. I mean, it's, you know, unless you live in St. Louis, it's hard to, like, I don't think anyone's really going to grasp, like, how big of a deal Guns N' Roses is for this city and how big of a deal Backstoppers is. So to kind of do like a little background on it, Backstoppers is a St. Louis charity that gives financial assistance to the families of fallen first responders. And they've helped so many, you know, fallen firefighters, fallen police officers in the St. Louis area. You know, they help their family with their financial needs. You know, they help their kids pay for their kids' school, pay for their kids to go to college. For example, when Officer Blake Snyder was killed last year in the line of duty, you know, he left behind his wife and his two-year-old son, and they bought them a new house. You know, you got to imagine it'd be hard to go back to that house where all the memories are. You know, they help with any debt, you know, the family has going on. So they just do, you know, so many amazing things for these families that are struggling with their loss. And, you know, they hold this event, Guns N' Roses, every year. It's always once a year, and it's always the night before Thanksgiving. And they raise so much money at this event. And I think this past Guns N' Roses, last week, I read that they raised over $7 million. So it's definitely a big deal in St. Louis, and they sell out. They've been selling out the last couple of years in a row, and it's like they have it at Scott Trade Center. So I think it's like 20,000 seats. So it's definitely it's a big event in St. Louis, and it definitely means a lot to the St. Louis area.
It truly does, and you know that's one thing. When I moved out here from the West Coast and Sacramento and Las Vegas, I came out here to actually visit 21 years ago, and I fell in love with the Midwest. It's like you said, you really can't explain how the Midwest or St. Louis is. You just got to really come here and encompass it. But one thing I find very intriguing about you, you brought up the fallen officer about how they. Ended up buying his wife and child another home. But going back before even that, you represented him in the cage. What did it mean to you that night to walk out with a flag honoring the officer, your banner honoring him and his family? And what does that mean to you being a law enforcement officer, being able to support and respect the brotherhood like you do?
You know, that night and that win was probably like out of, you know, I have over, like, I think 27, 28 fights total, amateur and pro. And that's probably, like, the best moment of my fight career just because it meant so much to me to honor Blake and his family. It was very important for me to tell everyone that he was a hero. You know, he was a buddy of mine and my coworker. You know, he lost his life, you know, while protecting others. And you know, a lot of people, you know, the whole St. Louis area knew Blake's story and what happened, but I wanted to reach, you know, even more people outside of St. Louis. And I knew winning that fight would be my opportunity to tell everyone that Blake was a hero. So, I mean, that moment, just being able to do that and, you know, to honor Blake and his family and my police department. You know, I remember after that fight, Blake's family, his wife and his siblings and his mom reached out to me and thanked me, and that was just the best feeling in the world. So the fact that I was able to do that was probably honestly the highlight of my career.
Yeah, you know, I was there. I shot that fight for Invicta that night, and so I was in house, and to see the tears come down your face and the joy, you know, knowing that what you did was in respect of a fallen, you know, comrade, that was tremendous. And I see how you could look at it and say it was one of the best, you know, nights of your career. You know, a lot of people, Ashley, when they look at you, they don't realize that you truly are a veteran that has been around for a while. What is it, you know, we were talking about this before we went live. When you look at the sport, what are the major changes that you've seen from the time you started coming up in the rankings to now? What is the major, would you say, is a major change that you would like for it to go back to the ways of old?
What would I like for it to go back to?
Yeah, I mean, because you get the Conor McGregor aspect of it that came out 2-3 years ago, and a lot of fighters took to that precedence that you needed to talk smack, you needed to, you know, be kind of a little on the sideways track to get a name for yourself. But you haven't had to do that. You've been able to, you know, remain Ashley Smashley Cummings, you know, with great honor and dignity and integrity, and you're still prospering in the sport. So what do you think the sport needs to go back to what it was when you began?
I think when I first started, I think a big thing that, you know, it's still out there, but just not as much as, I remember when I first started, there weren't as many women fighters, so we were the ones that did fight. We were all very close. Like, we did whatever we could to help each other get, you know, get our names out there, help each other train and get better. And now there's just so many females in the sport. I feel like it's more like not as much trying to help each other and build women's MMA, but more of like, you know, everyone's on their own to promote themselves and, you know, kind of like a competition a little bit and, you know, not like, you know, there's still a lot of women out there that are helping the other fighters, you know, especially the up-and-coming fighters. But I just feel like, you know, 10 years ago when I started, there was just more camaraderie between everyone.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you. You know, Ashley, you've done everything there is just about to do in the sport. You are an active police officer, and you have a tremendous, you know, other half in your life. What is there else left for Ashley Cummings to kind of take on or try to put her hands in next and see if she can accomplish that task too?
Well, I mean, in the world of MMA, you know, my goal is still the same as, you know, I want to fight for that Invicta 105 belt. You know, it's always been the goal. And, you know, I came close to it in my last fight, and unfortunately I didn't come out with the win. You know, I'm hoping to have another, you know, 2-3 wins and be back in the mix for a title shot.
Yeah, I think it would be tremendous for Shannon to get you on the next card because you always pack the house. The fans love you. I love shooting you. You put on a tremendous, you know, fight each and every time. The one thing that amazes me, like I said earlier, you made your boxing debut, and you came out successful. You've been in the sport of MMA. You're a law enforcement officer. You give back to your community. You know, what is there left that you would like to accomplish, not only as a fighter, but as a person in life? You already give back in so many ways. So what else is there for you to do?
You know, I guess, you know, a lot of people's goals like to get married and have kids someday. You know, that's something I definitely don't want to rush, but I definitely see that in my future. You know, I've always dreamt of, like, you know, really beautiful wedding and with all my family there. And, you know, I know we talked about Mary earlier. Mary and I have been friends, you know, since college. And, you know, she's always been there for me in my fight career and, you know, in life in general. And, you know, I really admire her and everything she's accomplished recently. You know, she recently got married, and her and Amanda have a beautiful baby. I mean, she sends me Snapchats, and I about melt with these pictures. Like, cutest daughter ever. Adorable. Like, her baby needs to be, like, a little baby model for, like, Baby Gap or something. So I hope one day to have a little family just like she does.
Yeah, you know, that'd be tremendous. You know, Mary and I, gosh, we go back way back. And, you know, I know Mary on a personal, everyday level. So, you know, I get to see her all the time. And when she told me, when I saw her in the hospital the other day, and she told me that she was completely content with just taking care of the baby and hasn't even thought about stepping foot in the gym, it kind of amazed me, because you could see, on one hand, you could see the glow in her face, but on the other hand, you know, I know Mary, the boxer, and it's like that baby's changed her completely, and so is being married, and she's so happy in life. And, you know, I'd like to see that for you too, Ashley, because, you know, life is a pretty screwed up place, and it's not getting any better. You know that as a police officer, and I know that, you know, as a person that's constantly all over the country, you know,
yeah.
That'd be a tremendous day for you to be able to get married and have a child like Mary did and have a family. You know, talking about your other half, what does it that makes it so special for you to be able to look at life in that aspect and finally know that you found the person that you truly love?
And, you know, my significant other, Reet, she's, I don't know, she just completes me more than, I can't even explain it, you know. That's the first time I've been with someone where it just feels right, and I know that she's the one. She's my best friend, and she's honestly my number one fan. She's the biggest support in my MMA career. She does all my meal prepping for me so I can keep my weight low, and when I'm cutting weight for a fight so I can, you know, be on weight. She even goes as far as she looks at my opponent and studies my opponent and take notes on my opponent for me. Like, she comes to the gym to watch me spar and videotapes me sparring so I can later watch it to see what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong, what I need to improve on. Like, she does everything, you know. If I ever skip a day of training, she's like, why'd you skip? You need to go. You need to get better. She's 100% supportive, like, wants me in the gym every day. She just wants to see me reach my goals. And I think that's hard to find that in a significant other, where they, you know, a lot of people, they want you home all the time. They, you know, be home with me and, you know, take care of me. And she's like, no, get in the gym. I want to see you reach your goals, just because she loves me and she wants to see me happy. And that's hard to find. And I found it, and, you know, everything just feels right, and I'm really excited for our future and, you know, everything everything that's coming towards us.
Yeah, it's so awesome because, you know, you're right. You can't just find that in life. It's something that, you know, very rarely comes across our path. So when you do find it, you grab a hold of it and you don't let go. But what I'm interested in is how much more important was it that night of Guns N' Roses for her to have there in your corner, have her there by your side, and, you know, help you celebrate this win on an event that you've always wanted to be in?
Oh, man, you know, the Guns N' Roses, so, like, leading up to the fight, the promoter was like, you're allowed to have three corners. And with Invicta, you're only allowed to have two corners unless it's a title fight. So, you know, my last two fights with Invicta, I had, you know, my two coaches. So for Guns N' Roses, I was like, I get three corners? I was like, you know, okay. I thought to myself, my fight career, Ereed is very passionate about it. And loves it, loves to be a part of it, and is just my number one fan. And I was like, you know, if she's ever going to get the experience of being in my corner and, like, feeling, like, the nervousness and the adrenaline and, like, the nerves, like, this is her one and only chance to be able to experience that. So I don't think, you know, with Invicta, she's, you know, their two-corner limit. Plus, you know, with MMA, it's kind of more... I'd say it's a little, you know, more violent and more stressful. So I don't know if I'd want her in the corner of Invicta. I wasn't really, you know, this is my very first time having, like, a non-coach in my corner. So I knew I wanted her to be in my corner. I was just, like, a little nervous about it. I didn't know how she would take it. But, man, like, it was just an awesome experience having her in the corner and being able to, like, see, like, this is what goes on backstage. This is, like, all the feelings and emotions that happen right before a fight. This is the experience and emotions after a fight. I mean, it was the best feeling in the world to, after the fight, like, I knew I had won all the rounds, and to look over at her and see the biggest smile on her face, and she got a front row view of all the action. Like, it just meant the world, I think, for both of us, for her to be there and be able to experience that. So it was definitely just Guns N' Roses, you know, just to be a part of that event and help raise money for this amazing charity, and then have Ereed be able to corner me for the first time and be able to experience it. Like, overall, it was just honestly, like, an amazing night and an amazing experience.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the life of Ashley Cummings on paper, it's tremendous. I mean, I've been a fan of yours since, I guess, day one, I guess you would say, because I've saw a lot of your fights. The thing that inspires me the most about you is the humility and the integrity that you walk with. When you look at that aspect of you, who would you credit with giving you the stability, the intellectual ability, the thought process in life to be the young lady that you are?
Honestly, you know, my parents, you know, the way they raised me, you know, they just raised me to be a good person, always do things for others. My parents growing up were very involved in animal rescue. They were always rescuing, you know, stray and abused dogs and cats. So I kind of got that part of my personality from my parents, to just always do for others and, you know, just be a good person and be respectful and respect authority. And it just all came from them, you know. Like, you'll never see me, you know, I've been in the sport for 10 years. Never once have I gone online and been disrespectful or, you know, talk smack. I've had a lot of fighters over the years, you know, try to talk smack to me, and I never even respond. I just ignore it and just move on. Like, I'm not about to engage in that. It's just, to me, that's not the way of a martial artist. A martial artist should always be respectful and respect everyone. I'm not about to get into the smack talking like other fighters do.
No, there's really no need for it. You know, I kind of want to talk about a buddy that both you and I have in common. He's a cut man. You know, when you think of him, you know, you made a comment that he was probably one of the best people to ever have in your corner. One of the, He's backed you more times than anybody, and you don't want anybody else to wrap your hands but him. And the reason I'm not saying his name, because I want you to you know, reiterate how much this gentleman means to you in your own words. I don't want to put anything out there, but I know that you have a special bond and a relationship with him is all that made him do. But I know that yours is just a little bit different. What does it mean to you to have someone like that in your corner?
Oh, man. You know, Craig Nocello, like I said in my social media post, I've been in the sport for 10 years. I've had so many different cutmen work my corner, you know, all the way. Even, like, I don't want to say their names, but even, like, the big names that, you know, do the cutman stuff for, like, the UFC, I've worked with, even to, like, you know, a lot of local people. And Craig is by far, like, the best cutman I've ever worked with. You just see, like, he's just so passionate about what he does. And he just, you can just see, like, he cares so much about the fighters and, like, making sure they're safe, making sure they're as comfortable as they can possibly be before a fight. Just does everything possible to, like, make sure the experience runs smooth, tends to all your injuries before and after the fight. Like, I've never had a cutman be so, I don't even know where to describe it, just, like, on top of everything. And just this passion just comes out, you know, very easily to see, for, you know, just what this job means to him. And, you know, every time I find out that Craig's working an event, I get so excited. I'm like, yeah. And, like, I go up to him, I'm like, no one's wrapping my hands but you. So he knows that anytime I'm fighting, he's there. He has to be my cut man.
You know, what's crazy is when you look at Craig, and then you got to think of the other people that he surrounds himself with. And, you know, I work with him at Bellator. So, you know, you look at Stitch and you look at Dean Lassiter. So you're talking of one of the best top four cut men in the country, if not the world, and he happens to be one of the most humble, cool dudes you will ever meet. You know, that's mm-hmm. what cracks me up. A lot of these people on social media that follow the sport, they're fans of the sport, but they don't really know the inner workings of it like you and I do. But when you get to that part of it, and you get to meet people like Craig and Stitch and Dean and everybody, it's family. And you know, these guys are people just like you and me, and, you know, you have relationships with them, friendships with them, and it blossoms. And I think it's a tremendous thing. I think it makes the sport that much of a better place. And then you gain relationships like you did with Craig that money can't replace. And I think that's the part of the sport that the fighters and people like myself truly take away and walk away with. It's not really the fight night. I mean, fight night is part of it, but I think the brotherhood and the sisterhood that, you know, we gain from it is truly what keeps us there. You know, you're one of the top atom weights in the country. You know, how far do you see that belt being out of your reach, Ashley?
You know, I don't think it's far. Like, I know I lost my last fight for Invicta. You know, it's not like I got my butt kicked. It was a close fight. You know, I think my bad on the game plan. I think I came out with the wrong game plan, and that cost me in the fight. But I think one more win, maybe two, and I think I'm back in title contention. Honestly, my last fight, I think, should have been for the title. Unfortunately, the title holder, Ayaka, at the time, that night that I fought Jinyu Fry, that night she said, I'm giving up my 105 title and going up to 115. So I, like, when I found out, I was like, man, could she have not said that, like, a couple weeks earlier, you know? Because then they probably would have made my fight with Fry a title fight, and then my fight would have been five rounds instead of three. But, you know, it is what it is, and everything happens for a reason. And I learned a lot from that fight of things I need to work on. You know, I have a lot of respect for Fry. She's one of the best fighters in the world, and it was – you know, it was an amazing opportunity just to fight one of the top atomweights in the world, you know, and it showed what I need to work on to make me a better martial artist. So it was a good experience overall. And, you know, I think just, you know, one or two more wins, I think I'll be back in title contention.
You know, I have to agree with you there, because the ability that you have is second to none. You know, we talked about this before we went live just a little bit. You know, with the UFC coming and snatching up probably 75% of the stable fighters from Invicta, you know, it hit the promotion pretty hard. And, you know, one thing I have noticed is there's a lot of debuters coming out. What does it mean for veterans like you to now have this whole new stable of fighters to face, to challenge, as you may say, in the future?
You know, I think the UFC has just grabbed up so many of the Invicta fighters, and I think because the UFC doesn't have 105, a lot of 105ers have gone up to 115. So I think, you know, Invicta overall, I think, has done a great job of trying to find girls to sign and fill in to replace all the fighters Invicta has signed, or sorry, to replace all the fighters UFC has signed. You know, I think with every weight class for Invicta, there's a lot of different levels. Like, you have your debuters, and you have girls that have like two or three fights, and then you have girls that, like, you know, like me and a couple other girls have like around 10 fights or even more. So there's definitely a lot of different levels Invicta has, but I think they're good at making fair matchups. You know, that's not fair. Like, you know, you're not going to have a girl with one pro fight a girl with like eight. You know, that wouldn't be fair. But I think they're really good about what they do and building girls, like the newer girls, building them up so eventually they can fight the girls with more experience.
I think you're right. You know, when you look at the situation overall, Shannon and Julian and Sam, they do a tremendous job, you know, over there at Invicta, and that's what keeps me part of the promotion. You know, actually, when you look at life, we all look at our successes, our ups and downs, but you chose a path that has truly defined who you are in all aspects. You know, I kind of want to touch on your work just for a second before, you know, we end this interview or whatever, but you know, one thing that truly makes me admire you is what you do as a civil servant, as a law enforcement officer. What made Ashley Cummings decide to serve her community?
You know, I get asked that question a lot, and, you know, it sounds cliche, but, you know, I wanted to try to help people. You know, a lot of law enforcement is helping. You know, I think a lot of people have a misconception of law enforcement, you know, that, you know, we're just out there and, you know, being rough with people. And it's not, you know, majority of what we do is to help people. We're not out there. We don't want to put people in jail, but sometimes that needs to happen to protect someone else, you know, like, for example, a domestic situation or, you know, anything. So, you know, ever since I was little, I wanted to be in law enforcement. I just wasn't sure, you know, should I be a cop? Should I go DEA or FBI? And, you know, I fell in love with police work and the kind of stuff that they do. And, you know, right after, you know, I graduated college, I immediately got in the police academy. And, you know, that's what I've been doing ever since. I'm definitely open to possibly going federal in the future. Right now, I'm kind of just happy where I'm at. With my police department, and I'm just kind of focusing on work and my fight career at the moment, just because, you know, I am 30 and I know, you know, I can't fight forever. So now's the time to kind of focus on MMA, and maybe when I'm older and finally retired from MMA, I can maybe decide if I want to do a switch in my career for a different aspect of law enforcement. But I always want to be in law enforcement. It's definitely a big passion of mine.
Yeah, and it's tremendous. You know, when I was younger, I went through the Sheriff's Academy in Sacramento, and I was pretty stupid. You know, I thought that's what I wanted to do, you know, and I wanted to be a court officer. And after I went through the Sheriff's Academy, I found out that you had to be a jailer for 4 to 5 years before you even got an opportunity to even do the streets. So it was like, it wasn't something that was actually up my alley. So I commend you on having the perseverance to do this job, because you're right. You know, the job, it's a hard job, and you're out there, you're caring for your community, but yet nowadays people truly look at police officers with a lot of hate, and especially up in the area you're in with the situation that occurred in Ferguson. I, I think that people need to, you know, step back and look at law enforcement and realize that y'all are there to help, not to hurt. But one last question about your career, and I'll let you get on with your night. You know, Ashley, you've proven yourself time and time again in the cage. Now you've proved yourself in the ring. You know, we already talked about you'd like to, you know, get a title fight in the next few fights. When you look at everything that you've done, and I mean, you've truly done everything, and it's an honor to have you on my show, honestly. But what is the one thing that you would say that you would like to do, other than getting a belt, that you would like to accomplish in this sport before you leave?
I'd say the one thing besides getting a belt is I'd like to fight in the UFC, just to have that experience of fighting for, you know, the biggest MMA promotion. You know, unfortunately, they don't have my weight class. But that's honestly, that's always been the goal. Even when I first started in the sport 10 years, the goal has always been to get to the UFC. You know, I got close. I've been close a couple times. When I fought Evelyn Kagan for Invicta, I actually think I won that fight, and the judges kind of screwed me over. But after that fight, like 2 months later, Emily Kagan got signed to the UFC, and I didn't. I was always, you know, been like, well, if the judges would have given me the win, like I feel like I deserve, then maybe that would have been me signed. And then, you know, the other time I came close was when I was on Ultimate Fighter. I got picked to be on the show, and unfortunately I lost my fight to get on the show, so I was only on one episode. But I guess those two times were the two closest opportunities I got to reaching that goal. You know, and I've thought about it a lot over the past couple months, and honestly, you know, yeah, that's a cool goal that I've always had and always wanted, but if it doesn't happen, I'm still going to, when I finally retire, I'm still going to look back on my career and be happy and be proud. You know, I've accomplished a lot, and I've fought some of the biggest names in the sport, you know, and done well, and I think overall what I'm most happy about the sport is the friendships I've made over the years. All my best friends I've met through MMA. So I wouldn't have these amazing people in my life, you know, if I never did this sport. So overall, you know, if I don't reach my goals, I'm still going to be happy and proud of what I did. And at the end of the day, you know, this isn't MMA isn't my primary career. You know, my primary career is law enforcement. And this is kind of like my side job, I guess, that I'm very passionate about, that I also love to do. And I know most pro fighters, they just train, that is their job, is MMA. Like, they train full-time and don't have careers like I do, or like Kelly D'Angelo is, you know, a full-time firefighter. And I think that's kind of what makes me and Kelly different, is, you know, we have this separate life outside of MMA that, you know, at the end of the day is our prominent part of our life. So that's something we always fall back on. And, you know, when MMA isn't around anymore, we are going to have our jobs. So,
yeah. You know, it's a tremendous attribute, because a lot of people, like you say, they commit themselves full-time to just being a fighter, and you commit yourself to two full-time, you know, jobs, and that's tremendous. You know, I'm going to ask you one more question. You know, because you've done so much, what is it going to mean to Ashley Cummings 2, 3, 4 years from now, when you finally do get married and get that child? You know, what is it going to mean for you to know that you've created a legacy for your family for the future, for 10, 15 years, 20 years from now, for them to look back and say, this is what, you know, my mom did. This is what my aunt did. You know, what does that mean to Ashley Cummings, knowing that you have created such a legacy in two different aspects of the world?
Yeah, you know, it means the world. You know, I even kind of, I'm very much into, like, pictures and memories, and I've even started making, like, these little shadow boxes of, like gloves that I've fought in, and like pictures of fights, and like tickets to fights, and I like make these shadow boxes to have like all the memories, mainly for I could show like my future kids, like, I did this, you know, this is what a part of my life years ago. And, you know, definitely another aspect for me, you know, being in the sport for so long, I want to be able to teach my kids how to defend themselves. So it's important to me. You know, I would never pressure my kids. I don't want them to compete in jiu-jitsu or MMA if they don't want to, but it is important to me that they know how to defend themselves if they ever get attacked. So I want to be able to show, you know, my future kids, like, you know, jiu-jitsu and some boxing and Muay Thai, just in case if they ever need it. So that's definitely something I want to pass on to my future kids.
So righteous. You know, I know you're such an integral person. Before I let you go, I'm going to have you make a statement to the people that follow you, Ashley, the people that believe in you and the people that work with you. If you can make a statement letting them know how much all the hard work and perseverance that they've endured with you means to you in a statement, that'd be greatly appreciated, my friend.
I just want to, you know, thank everyone for the support, my family, my friends, my fans, you know, my team. And, you know, I guess the biggest thing that I've always said is, you know, I might not win every fight, but every fight I go out there and I put on a show, you know. That's one thing I'm proud of is I don't have boring fights. You know, win or lose, I go for submission attempts. You know, I go for head kicks and try to get the knockout. So, you know, that's the one thing I'm proud of is when people watch me, it's an exciting fight and they're on the edge of their seats and they're not like, oh man, this is boring. What round is this? You know? So I guess that's what I'd like to tell everyone is like, you know, I even with a full-time job, I'm training twice a day to give you the most exciting fight that I'm able to. So win or lose, you know, I go out there and put on a show and I just want to thank everyone for the support and, you know, the support of the fans and the amazing messages I get from people, you know, every week is what drives me to keep pushing myself in the gym.
Yes. You know, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you, Ashley. You know how things go. Any friends, family, sponsors, any social media sites or just anything you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Ashley Smashley Cummins. And on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Smashley MMA. I just want to thank my gyms, Wolves Den Training Center, Gracie Humaita, and, you know, thank my coaches and my teammates. I thank my manager, Jay General, and, you know, thank my family and friends for all the support.
Well, you know, can I ask you one more question? Because you know what? I forgot you're Gracie just like me. What does it mean to you to have someone like JW right in your life?
Oh, man, JW is the best. Like, he's just the kind of person you can ask him anything and he will drop whatever he's doing to help you. He's taught me so much over the years. And actually, my last fight for Invicta, you know, I lost. So I was like, you know, down in the dumps. I was like, man, I lost this fight. Like, that sucks. And a week later, there was a seminar at Gracie Humaita, and I was like, two of the female instructors I heard were going to get promoted to their brown belts. I was like, oh, I'm going to go to support them because they're, you know, two of my best friends and, you know, help me get ready for all my MMA fights. So I went to the seminar to support them. JW promoted me to purple belt, and I was completely shocked because I was like, you know, I just lost a fight, so I didn't think I was about to get promoted, you know. When JW gave me the purple belt, he started crying so that I started crying. So we were both just crying while I got my purple belt. But it was honestly like, that was probably one of the coolest moments in my MMA career as well, is just getting that purple belt and just seeing like the emotion of how much it meant to him to get me that belt. Like, it was just awesome. It was an incredible day.
Yeah. You know, before I let you go, you know, I had JW on the show one time and, you know, he told me, I said, you know, JW, what would you like to see transform in your life? And he said, for you to put down the damn camera and put on a gi and let me give you your first role. And, you know, I felt kind of bad because Rafael Lovato had offered to give me my first role. But I'd known JW. I'd shot him for years. You know, I even shot Respect 3 for him up there in St. Louis. And so one day, David Lopez hires me to shoot JW in a seminar, and they shock me and they surprise me. They walk out with a gi, and I get my first role with JW, right, and get to become a part of Gracie Humaita. And the look on JW's face, like you said, he's a man that truly does wear his heart on his sleeve, and everybody that has an opportunity to get to know this man, he truly does change their life. And the reason that's the reason I brought him up. I just wanted to let people know who JW Wright is and how he changes everybody's life when they do come in contact with him, because he is a special, special man, and I'll never forget my first role with him, and now we're Gracie family, you and I, so it's kind of a cool thing, you know. But I just wanted to get your take on JW, because in my eyes, he truly is one of the most tremendous men I've ever met in BJJ.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. If Invicta would ever allow non-title fights to have three corners, I would definitely love for him to be my third corner. So hopefully one day he'll be able to corner me for Invicta.
Yeah, hopefully one day that'll happen. You know, Ashley, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for coming on my show each and every time you do. It's always an honor. I can't wait to see you next in the Invicta cage or Bellator cage, wherever it may be. You know, you surprise me. You do everything, and you do it quite well, my friend. It's an honor to have you on my show. I want to wish you a tremendous evening, and thank you for allowing me in your life.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate being on the show. I know it's not the first time I've been on here, and every time it's definitely fun to talk with you. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you, and you guys have a good night, and bless you.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ashley Smashley coming off of Guns N' Hoses, her pro debut in boxing. Tremendous young lady. I mean, you listen to everything that she has done in life, and the one thing that I take away that truly impacted me is, you think about it, most fighters that are full-time fighters, that's all they do. But Ashley is actually a full-time police officer, too, so she's juggling two careers when most people can only handle one, and you got to commend the young lady on that. She's truly dedicated to each and everything that she puts her hands into. You know, she talks about Craig Novello, you know, as a mentor, a predecessor, one of the only few people that she would let wrap her hands. You know, it's a sport that truly creates the love that we all have for it. It's the warriors that combine to come together that draws in each and every time come fight night, and that's why I do this show, because of people like Ashley Cummings. On that note, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. Without you, brother, I wouldn't exist. I love you, man. The 86ers.net, United Way Merced, and Affliction. On that note, we're going to drop out with a little bit of a commercial here, and we'll catch you tomorrow afternoon. I got Joey Black Ice Davis, and then on Thursday, I've got Steve Lee, Quentin Rampage Jackson, and Aaron Pico, and hopefully Chris Camozzi.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hat. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama where things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a
the crack fiend, mama. You always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was given, and mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone, trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I